Rats, they're everywhere. One rat expert in Canberra once told me that every single household in Australia has them. You just don't see them come and go. They're so clever. We called our own very occasional visitor Ratatouille, and he was cute. He liked to hollow out tomatoes left in the bowl, but we never found out whether he was a master chef as well. But one of the really nasty byproducts of rats is plague, through fleas that leave them when their hosts die. And plague changes history. But did it do so here in Australia? Dr. Rosaline Love has been looking into this.
As I was sorting out books at home, I came across a report on the outbreak of plague in Brisbane between 1900 and 1902. I was intrigued. I grew up in Queensland, and in history classes we heard about the Black Death in medieval Europe and the Great Plague of London in 1665. But we were not told about this outbreak of plague much closer to home. The report was written by a Brisbane doctor, Arthur Halford, who in 1902 was appointed medical officer to the Board for the Prevention of Epidemic Diseases in Brisbane. Halford detailed who were the victims, where and how they lived, and their relationship to rats. There's a whole chapter devoted to the rats. The reason we weren't taught about the Great Plague of Brisbane was that by 1902 people knew more about the cause of the disease, and they were able to institute effective measures to control it. Halford knew the cause was a bacillus, with the rat as the source of infection and the rat's fleas the means of transfer to humans. He was clear about what measures were likely to work and what were not so much use. Disinfection of houses of the afflicted was not as important as authorities imagined. Rat control mattered more than cleaning with carbolic. Why I happen to have the report in my house is because Arthur Halford was my late husband's grandfather. Halford was the fourth son of the first professor of medicine at the University of Melbourne, George Britton Halford. Halford came to Brisbane in 1895 when he was appointed resident medical officer at the Brisbane Hospital. There he made a special study of bacteriology with special reference to fever, studies which qualified him well for his work on plague. A photo from the time shows an elegantly dressed man sporting a rather jaunty thin horizontal moustache with waxed pointy ends. Halford was fond of Gilbert and Sullivan, and in this photo he looks rather like a character from the operas, the high-principled Frederick from the Pirates of Penzance, perhaps. When plague reached Australia in 1900, it was not entirely unexpected. Following serious outbreaks in India and China in the 1890s, Australian authorities were already planning isolation to control plague should it arrive here. Also, from these Asian outbreaks came the possibility of an effective treatment. In 1894, during the Hong Kong epidemic, the Swiss bacteriologist from Saigon's Pasteur Institute, Alexander Yersin, and the Japanese bacteriologist Kitasato, their sole common language being German, isolated the plague bacillus. Yersin used his cultures to create an anti-serum to treat the plague, in French, serum antipesteur. Halford's name for it was curative serum. The choice of words mattered. In India, where the serum was used during an outbreak in 1897, wild rumours spread that the doctors were injecting people with the pest or plague for their own malicious ends. Curative serum has a more positive ring to it. The serum was administered either intravenously, a considerable and indeed heroic procedure in 1900, or subcutaneously. How did plague break out in Brisbane in April 1900? Where did it come from? The local answer seems to be, as with most bad things that happen in Brisbane, that it came from Sydney, where the first case of plague was reported in January 1900. Of the first 20 cases in Brisbane, 14 were from round the wharves. A river frontage address in 1900 was not perhaps as salubrious as today. Halford traced the pattern of disease outbreak, how the rats most likely migrated up sewers and drains to other parts of the city. On a large map of Brisbane printed in the report as a large fold-out page, he showed where every patient lived. From the map, he could also point to the fact that many cases occurred along the drains and sewers. For example, along a drain leading from Spring Hill and Wickham Terrace down to the Brisbane River. By 1902, indeed, some drains built earlier in Brisbane's history had been neglected, forgotten, and their broken pipes provided convenient paths for rats. Halford devoted a whole chapter to the rats. There's even a modicum of sympathy for fellow sentient beings. The rats had a higher rate of mortality than humans. Where one person contracted plague, many hundreds of rats suffered, and with a case of virulent plague, died within 3 days. When a rat dies, he noted, the fleas which have swarmed upon it during its sick days will depart ere decomposition sets in. They may then latch onto humans, where the insect will gauge the suitability of any warm-blooded host by tasting it. One of his medical colleagues recalled Halford at work finding the rats. Plenty of courage was needed to investigate the source of infection, usually from produce store or grocer's shop, where numerous dead rats would be found, and where no doubt lots of infected fleas were ready to hop on any visitor. It goes without saying that the work was dangerous. One of Halford's medical colleagues, Dr. Hill Ray, contracted plague in the post-mortem room and died. In his report on people, Halford listed 117 cases of plague diagnosed in Brisbane between 1900 and 1902, including 37 deaths. He provided clinical details of each case and recorded who the people were, where they lived, and their contact, if any, with rats. For example, a schoolboy was bitten on the finger by a rat, got plague, and his mother, who nursed him, also became ill. Both were admitted to hospital, treated with serum, and survived. Halford listed people's occupations. The barman, the restaurant keeper, the storeman, the stable hand, all worked in places infested with rats. With Brisbane houses built on stilts, people often slept in rooms underneath, and the cool earth floors were ideal for rat burrows. Halford recorded what worked and what didn't. For example, there was a higher survival rate among people admitted to hospital. People who seemed not very ill and who stayed home might suddenly take a turn for the worse and die without appropriate care. Good nursing care was essential for anyone with a high fever, and swift treatment with the curative serum. Draining pus from the lesions was also part of hospital treatment. The serum used in Brisbane was derived from the blood of immunised horses and came from Paris, from the Pasteur Institute. It arrived by July 1900, and by then some of the serum was over a year old and often with no date recorded on the files, but it still worked. Halford was impressed with the swift effects of the serum on his patients, the near immediate fall in temperature, the improvement in mental condition. Indeed, sometimes the patients inconveniently woke from their comatose state as the large dose was injected into a vein, well before the procedure was finished. It took half an hour to administer. It was difficult work in other ways. In Brisbane, as elsewhere, some people refused to accept the reality of the infectious nature of plague. The plague deniers upheld instead the by then discredited belief that disease was caused by miasma, or foul air coming from damp air and water. The word hospital had an ominous ring to it. Families were often unwilling to send someone to an isolation ward in hospital. Halford preferred his patients to be in hospital, sometimes to get away from the family. He noted, "Only those who have been compelled to do it know the difficulties and harassment associated with the administration of curative serum, even subcutaneously, in the presence of relatives and friends often hostile to your very presence." By 1902, there was more experience with the serum and more knowledge of the doses required. From that year, Halford was pleased to report only 2 plague deaths. In his conclusion, Halford stressed the importance of public health measures, of planning for inevitable future outbreaks, and rat control, including regular testing of rats for signs of disease. For the rest of his life, in addition to his busy practice as surgeon and gynaecologist, Halford kept up his interest in public health, with appointments to the Metropolitan Water and Sewage Association and the Fire Brigades Board, for example. In Brisbane, his name may be found among the Water Board worthies on a small sign underneath the Paddington Water Tower.
And when in Brisbane, make sure to look it up. Rosaline Love writes on Australian scientific history and has recently turned to fiction as well. Next week, and this is especially important if you've ever had problems fitting your beard into your protective rubber mask, Michael Gill in Canberra on how to cope, particularly during bushfires. I'm Robin Williams.